You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, what is up? Happy Thursday. Welcome back to the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for inside analysis, breakdowns, conversation, your thoughts, fan thoughts, in-depth interviews also from some of the greatest analysts around the NBA, player audio, highlights, we have it all right here for you. This is your number one daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. You are in the right place if you call yourself a Kings fan. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK, and is the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Now, I missed Tuesday's episode of the podcast, and I told you yesterday that I had some making up to do, so this is the make-up episode for you. Coming up in just a little bit, I have my one-on-one interview with Sam Amick of The Athletic. He is a senior NBA writer. He's got his reach all over the NBA world. There's probably not a better reporter on the planet that is more connected with NBA players specifically than Sam is. He's also local here in Sacramento, formerly of the Sacramento Bee, so he has great connections and great tabs on the Kings organization, the Kings franchise. He's written a number of pieces on the Kings themselves, including the report of Vlade Divac holding a conference call to talk to some of the minority owners and ask them, or really tell them, to stop meddling in the Kings business and stop trying to change things or complain behind the scenes or behind closed doors. So that is going to be coming up for you here in just a little bit. I'm going to share my takes and my thoughts on that entire situation and that entire story on tomorrow's podcast. Also tonight, the Sacramento Kings are back in action. They start their six-game road trip in Charlotte against the Hornets. We'll talk about that and we'll recap that game on tomorrow's episode of the podcast. At the end of this podcast, my secret project has been revealed. It was dropped this morning on KHDK's The Drive. The music video is out right now on KHDK.com, KHDK's YouTube channel. It's all over my social media, at Matt George KHDK. And you can also find it on Matt George on Facebook, on my Instagram as well. It is really everywhere, so you can't miss it. However, I encourage you to not stop this and go listen to it or watch it, because I'm going to be playing for you, just the audio version, obviously, at the end of the podcast. And then you can go and watch the music video, because I did a music video with it as well. It's cheesy. It's over the top. It's the response song to the Ringers' Hallelujah, and it's called The Kings Don't Need Luka. So that's for you at the end of this podcast, but don't worry, it's not going to take you too long to get there, or time's going to go by pretty quickly, because I really think you're going to enjoy every single second of this interview that I had with Sam Amick. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some phenomenal perspective that you're not going to get anywhere else on the Sacramento Kings, the NBA as a whole, from senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Here is my interview with Sam Amick. Happy to be joined by a man who is a Sacramento native, but he has a national persona. It is Sam Amick of The Athletic, formerly of the Sacramento Bee and USA Today. He is one of the best NBA insiders that you could possibly ask for. You've heard him from time to time on the Locked On NBA podcast, as he is a regular here now on the Locked On Podcast Network, but it is his first time here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Very excited to welcome him on. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time.
No problem, Matt. And listen, I'm honored, A, to be with you, and B, to be considered a Sacramento native. I've been here long enough that I certainly I'll own that. But technically speaking, a Pleasanton-born Bay Area boy, but been here a long time, man, 1996. So thanks for having me, brother.
Well, that ruins everything. Now that I know you're from the Bay Area, you're a diehard Warriors fan, aren't you? Well, this is going to ruin the entire podcast.
No, I always tell the story. I did grow up with, you know, some Warriors tilt, and then they were really bad. And then this guy out in Chicago started playing some pretty good basketball, and I converted my allegiances. I don't know if you've heard of him, Michael something. And so I went that direction. So, you know, a little combo childhood. I might have shared a bathroom stall with Ralph Sampson at a random Warriors game one day. So that's my the extent of Didn't mean to throw you off with that. But yes, Barry, a guy who went up to Sacramento State coming out of high school. But thanks for having me, man.
So basically what you're telling me is you peaked early and it's just been a downhill spiral since, huh?
It has. It has, man. I mean, I didn't even get the one-on-one interview. You can't bother a man when he's doing his business. So, you know, Ralph and I had a brief moment and it didn't lead to any actual in-depth media coverage, but it was downhill from there.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Sam, you do such fantastic work from The Athletic. You just recently made that transition from USA Today, allowing you to produce a lot of fantastic content. If you aren't subscribed already to The Athletic, you need to be. I'm subscribed specifically for Sam Amick's coverage and also Jason Jones's coverage of the Sacramento Kings. But also, The Athletic has fantastic coverage of everything sports that you could possibly want. But Sam, the most recent article that you wrote and released was sharing the news or reporting the news that Vlade Divac held a conference phone call with Vivek Ranadive and the Kings board of directors and basically told them to stop meddling and stop trying to do behind-the-scenes stuff and try and be involved or change things in the front office. First and foremost, without obviously giving away a source or anything, how did this story come about, and what was your initial reaction when you got wind of it?
You know, I'm not shocked. I mean, I was well aware of the kind of years-long dynamic between management and the minority owners. And I've said this a few times recently. To me, there's a couple layers to this thing that every NBA team has kind of varying degrees of this component in terms of minority owners who wind up cutting pretty, you know, substantial checks to have the part ownership that they have. But then the way that the bylaws of a team are set up and the way the league generally works is that they don't have any technical official voice. You know, you certainly are in constant communication with the power players, the GM, the majority owner, and the lead chairman, in this case, Vivek Ranadive. But you don't, you know, it's all these really successful people who are probably not used to, you know, pounding the table and having what they want not happen. But that is unfortunately kind of part of the existence as a minority owner. And the ironic part is Vivek knows that as well as anybody. He was a minority owner with the Warriors during their rise. And there were even kind of stories told from the past about how he wasn't necessarily all that different, where he would be frustrated, you know, and Joe Lacob and that group and Peter Guber ran the show. Excuse me, Matt, sorry. And so that's kind of the element. So I wasn't shocked to hear that Vlade had finally decided to essentially try to lay some ground rules to push back on this group and basically tell them to cut down the noise. And the noise, I think, is complicated because it's everything from various opinions about Dave Yeager's future to the front office situation with Brandon Williams to Vlade's future. He's got 1 year left on his contract.
Right.
I think the message in general was Vlade saying, you know, this thing is going in the right direction. We're winning. Maybe I know what I'm doing a little bit here after all, so please just give me space and let me work.
This summer, Sam, was a big period of uncertainty surrounding Vlade Divac, not just from Sacramento Kings fans here, but from around the NBA world, really, as fans and reporters alike were interested to see what Vlade would do with the number 2 draft pick and with all the weight on his shoulders of a massive summer with the potential for great turnaround. Now that you have all these young pieces, are you going to start to build in the right direction? Not to mention, Vlade put the ultimatum upon himself: if the Kings aren't better by this period of time, I will step down. So a lot of uncertainty surrounding Vlade. One of the things you mention in the article is that Vlade made this move, this conference call, to demand respect based off of where he's gone from really the DeMarcus Cousins trade onward and the moves that he's trying to do and how he's trying to handle his front office, the Brandon Williams situation and everything. Do you think Vlade has earned that respect, not just from fans, but from his owners?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's pro sports, which means that, you know, results are what matter first and last, and they are winning. And not only are they winning, but it's not the short runway gimmicky type of winning that we've seen other teams pull off at different times within the league. Meaning you go out, you get a bunch of veterans on short term contracts and they get a special thing going for a short time, but it's not sustainable. This is good old fashioned roster building with a young core. You know, a lot of guys on rookie contracts that conceivably you should be able to retain. if you keep pushing this thing in the right direction. So yeah, I think he deserves credit. And I think that from a, you know, in terms of him, trying to kind of shift the narrative that surrounds him, I think it helps that there's been a decent level of candor from Vlade when it comes to admitting past mistakes and not trying to act like, I don't think he's trying to act like we had it wrong the whole time. Like, he knows that he had no front office experience when he took this job. He knows that he stubbed his toe a couple times early on. And I still honestly think, Matt, that he's also still trying to figure out how to control his voice in the public sector. And this is probably a whole different conversation, but, like, you know, I actually am in the camp where it bothers me at different times where if you want to criticize the guy for moves he's made and mistakes he's made, that's fine. That's fair game. But there has been this, you know, other element to the Vlade discussion where I honestly think that it's part cultural, where the fact that English wasn't his first language and sometimes he, you know, says things in a certain way that makes it easy to poke fun at him, that I'm uncomfortable with that. And that I do think has been part of the situation with him. So you can see him now letting your results speak for themselves. But then also when he decides to speak, doing it in the most impactful kind of clean way possible. And that's privately in a conference call with minority owners that obviously got out. But then even interviews that he and I have had where he's a lot more, I think, directed and deliberate with what he's trying to share. But that's a very long answer to your question. Yes, I do definitely think that he deserves a lot of credit right now.
And building off of that, you mentioned a little bit earlier that he is going into next year as his final year on his contract as the general manager of the Kings. You're kind of hogtied with what you can do with your team when your future is uncertain in its own right. That could have an effect on what kind of moves he tries to make this summer. I don't know if he's operating under the idea that he is still going to be around and be the general manager of this team long term. I personally would love to see him extended, and I would also love to see Dave Yeager and his coaching staff extended too, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But in your mind, has Vlade done enough to get that extension, and are you hearing any way or another that the Kings are wanting to offer that or not?
I'm not hearing one way or the other. I know the fans would love to lock everything up, and even our buddy Carmichael Dave and I have talked about this. You know, and that's his opinion, is that they should certainly lock Yeager up right now. I'm not all that against the idea that they just let this stuff get figured out in the summertime, because it's a little awkward to conceivably go extend Yeager and his staff if Vlade himself doesn't have an extension. And then so you say, okay, well, fine, extend Vlade first. That's fine, and I get that. But I don't know, like, there's a trade deadline coming up, and if I was Vivek, like, I'd be fine saying, let's just see how this story ends this season. Because, and I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, let's say they do a move at the trade deadline that is an absolute disaster and it backfires and the team takes a turn and they not only miss the playoffs, but, you know, let's say they become a, you know, a 200 winning percentage team down the stretch. Then guess what? You're going to get roasted for extending everybody.
Yeah.
And given the long history of failure, and well before Vlade got here, you're talking about going back to 2006, you know, it just doesn't seem crazy to be prudent in terms of the timing. And I think the hole in that argument is, you know, what if you end up losing Yeager because of that? Because, you know, the Minnesota situation is one that people will continue to talk about until there's clarity out there, and he's going to be part of that conversation. You know, they fire Tom Thibodeau, Ryan Saunders takes over. Ryan's a great story, but my understanding, you know, and obviously the son of the late Flip Saunders and 32 years old and has a lot of promise as a coach. But my understanding is, you know, if Ryan can get that team to the playoffs, have it be that kind of a story, then, you know, he's got a very good shot at the job. But the Timberwolves do plan on conducting a very thorough coaching search and having, you know, multiple rounds of interviews with a fairly, you know, I don't know how long of a list of candidates, but a list. And I do think that Dave would be part of that. Mm-hmm. And so that, I mean, that's the danger zone that the Kings are part of. You know, Monty Williams is another very real name in that coaching search. So there's moving parts here all over the place, but that's kind of how I see it.
And allow me to throw in another element to it, Sam. You have such a great hand on the pulse of free agency and player personalities and their interests and where they want to go. How does maybe not guaranteeing head coach Dave Joerger in Sacramento or not guaranteeing Vlade as the long-term general manager for the Kings potentially have an effect on free agency for the Kings? They're going into a summer where they're going to have a boatload of cap space. Now, free agency in the past hasn't been the best asset for the Kings to try and they've never been really an attractive market for big name free agents. So while I don't expect them to be in like the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, what comes to mind is the situation with Rudy Gay a number of years ago where the Kings re-signed him and then fired Mike Malone. He was obviously unhappy about that, and that changed everything. So do you think there's an effect in the Kings' chances to attract a name free agency wise with Dave Joerger not extended or Vlade not extended?
Well, I mean, the thing is, from a timing standpoint, you're fine. Because let's say nobody expects the Kings to be playing into June and probably not May. So let's call it, I mean, maybe early May if they made the playoffs. But let's just call it late April. It's late April. You decide, let's go ahead and say they made the playoffs. Or they came so close that it was, I mean, if you're talking about what did they win last year? How many games?
28, I believe, or 27.
Okay. So, I mean, let's say they get to 41, 40, 39. You know, if you got an 11, 12, 13, 14 game improvement from the previous season, and then you do, like I said, and you just, and you then decide, yeah, we feel really good about the way this is working. So, Vlade, new contract, Dave, new contract. Like, you can do this after the season and send that message heading into free agency to, you know, that entire market that, you know, we have a good thing going. We endorse the people who have built this. And this is what you would be coming to be a part of if you wanted to come join. I mean, timing wise, it's fine. There's not really any advantage, I don't think, free agency wise, to doing it now versus then.
Do you think the Kings, one of the things I said going into this year is the only chance that the Kings would have at being a free agency destination this year was if De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, the young core, showed enough of a flair and showed enough of a spark to maybe attract a name to say, you know what, I want to play with those young guys. I want to be the missing piece that they need to get this team to the playoffs and break that playoff drought. Do you think the Kings are starting to develop that reputation amongst the league? We've heard multiple players compliment the Kings, compliment Fox, and start to take notice. But do you really think many of them are potentially considering, you know, SAC might not be a bad place for me to go?
I think so for sure. I can't, you know, necessarily sit here and tell you the specific guys that I anticipate coming. But in terms of the mood and the perception of the team, I guess the mood in regards to the team, I definitely think it's gotten a lot better. And I think it really could, if they don't, you know, if they keep it going in the right direction, it really could take off fairly quickly, I think, because the synergy, that's probably the wrong word, but like the combination of what they are doing with the new arena, and it kind of today's NBA having changed significantly, I think, in the past 5 to 10 years, as far as small markets and the way that superstars see them, because the internet, social media, the way the world is these days and how it has shrunk conceivably it makes it, if you're a superstar, like you can do your thing in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, listen, I love Sacramento, but it's not LA, California. It's not San Francisco, California. It's the capital. It's different. It has a ton of value on its own, but it's California. If Paul George can re-up in Oklahoma City, then why the heck can't, you know, a top name free agent get excited enough to come play for the Kings? I think that part has changed because in the old days, there was that funneling of the best talent to the New Yorks and Chicagos and LAs because of the way the world worked at that time. And I think that part has changed. And marketing wise, you even see, you know, De'Aaron start to get more buzz around him and his profile. You know, if I was a player, I really would be looking at the fact that, oh man, I think we're going to go out there and win a lot of games and I'm going to get a ton of credit for being part of it. You know, I think that would be pretty appealing.
I can understand that as well. I want to back up really quick to head coach Dave Yeager and his coaching staff. You also reported that the Kings extended Dave Yeager's staff through the remainder of this year. Well, actually, they're already on the staff through the remainder of this year and through next year. So now they're on an even playing field with Dave Yeager. Have you seen in the past, is it pretty unprecedented to extend them 1 year and then maybe in the summer, only a couple months later, extend them even longer to if they extend Dave Yeager to keep everybody on the same page, if they added another 2-3 years to their deal?
No, it's not that unprecedented. I think it's just it's an acknowledgement that was kind of an uncomfortable element of this King story this season was, you know, the assistants always wind up getting forgotten in the conversation about a team and which coach is on the hot seat. And we always forget. I mean, you're talking about 9 men who don't make anywhere near the money. I mean, you know, they all do well, relatively speaking, in just regular life standards, but they don't make the money that Dave Yeager's making. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't know where they were going to work next year. And so now, let's say it all, you know, they take a negative downturn and Dave isn't back next summer, you know, you kind of rewarded those guys for the work that they did this season. And, to me, that's all it is. You know, I need to circle back and confirm that all of them, all those contracts had not been signed when I had reported that they were finalizing them. But it was told that was a foregone conclusion. It was obviously a little bit messy because there was some irritation over the fact that Brandon Williams, the assistant GM, had handled the paperwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all kind of know the backstory between Dave and Brandon. So, but to your question, you know, it's not that unique. I think that's Vlade trying to, he's basically trying to carve out as much toxicity as possible right now internally. And I think that was another attempt to do that. He doesn't want the assistants feeling like they're not supported, you know, because they didn't have the same contract as Dave. And so he was trying to kind of remedy that.
Growing up a diehard Kings fan and someone that wants the Kings to make the playoffs just as much as all the butts in the seats of the Golden One Center, Sam, I was angry, frustrated when the story about Brandon Williams came out of him leaking the news, or allegedly. We never heard for sure it was him, but it's pretty confident to say that it was Brandon Williams that leaked this news to Yahoo, that there were members of the front office that didn't want Dave Yeager around, wanted to fire him, and then Dave Yeager clapped back, kicking him out of practice. It was a whole ordeal, and I was frustrated with the fact that that's what we were talking about rather than talking about a young Kings team that was overperforming, showing signs of life and growth, and were really a fun team for the most part to watch on a daily basis. Since then, I've been pleased with the fact that it's died down. We haven't heard much mention of Brandon. We haven't heard much mention of the entire situation, which I think is well done on the Kings' part. But in your mind, is that just a case of them kind of hiding things and brushing things under the rug? Is there still more to the story and more fallout to come, you think?
I don't know about the fallout. I kind of wrote this in my last piece. It hasn't been fixed, and my understanding is, as far as the dynamic between those two guys, and my understanding is it's really not ever going to be fixed. So I don't know what they do there. It's also not, you know, when Dave first essentially insisted that Brandon was not at that infamous shoot-around, it was said at the time that would be a one-time deal on Dave's part, and I don't necessarily think that has been the case. There are still kind of an unofficial understanding that his strong preference is to have Brandon keep his distance when it comes to the team and training kind of, you know, environments, if you will. And so they have tried to operate, you know, just try to navigate those tricky waters. And, you know, Brandon traveled for quite a while after the whole thing first came out. And that was a way of relieving tension. He's been around a lot more as far as games recently. But, you know, when those two guys have gotten in closer proximity, I think the temperature in the room goes up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my understanding is there have been times when things were said, you know, so I don't think it's fixed. But Vlade is basically just kind of stubbornly saying, you know, Brandon works for me. I think he brings value. And Dave, you need to focus on the team, keep doing your thing. You're doing a great job. So, you know, he's trying to basically play middleman and respect both guys and try to keep moving this thing forward.
Sam, final thing for you, and thank you so much for taking the time. I truly appreciate it. It's a little bit early still. We're over the midway point, but still a little bit early to talk about NBA awards and voting for that. But in my mind, we have a battle for most improved player in the NBA happening right now in Sacramento. But between De'Aaron Fox, who's made an absolutely incredible jump from his rookie season to his sophomore season, and then Buddy Hield, who's become the most consistent scorer, one of the best three-point shooters in the game, the Kings, that young backcourt is drawing comparisons to the initial young backcourt in Golden State of the Splash Brothers, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. Do either of those two, Fox or Hield, get your vote right now? Is there another name in there? Or do you really think they're both major candidates for that award?
Yeah, I think they are. It's always, you know, a tricky one. There's just a ton of guys who have gotten better. And I also think that De'Aaron in particular, what he's going to battle is, I think you have a lot of voters who kind of unofficially decide that they won't vote for guys who went from the first year to the second year, because improvement is expected. But this is a whole different level of improvement. And it's not even, you know, a lot of times it's an uptick in opportunity. So a guy will see his minutes go from 20 to 30 a game, and then production will come along with that. This is different. This is a guy in De'Aaron who, you know, we weren't sure could shoot the ball. And now you see the percentages skyrocket, and it's like, wow, okay, totally different player. You know, that's exactly what the award embodies. And then similar for Buddy, you know, I would probably argue that Buddy's case might be a little tougher, because as much as he's gotten better, you also have, you know, like when outside factors play a major part in a guy's improvement, I think that it doesn't take away from what they're accomplishing, but I think it hurts their most improved argument. And so if you look at last year's Kings team and the fact that he had to share time with the Garrett Temples of the world, you know, and now you remove that element, and now, you know, Buddy has taken off. I think some people would look at that, but it helps that, you know, I mean, I'm curious to see how much, if any, all-star love those guys get, because when you look at like the Warriors and Klay Thompson having a down year and people like that, some of these usual suspects are not what they have been in years past. And I think the Kings backcourt might benefit from that.
That is The Athletic's Sam Amick, senior NBA writer. I'm telling you, you need to be a subscriber of The Athletic. It is worth the price. It's already super affordable, but it's worth the price alone just to read and get Sam's content. And then you also get a boatload of other content from all over the local and national sports world. Sam, thank you so much for taking time to appear on the podcast. Hopefully we can do it again in the future. I look forward to seeing you soon at the Golden One Center. Safe travels wherever you're headed, and I look forward to reading and hearing more of your NBA news to come.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it, man. See you soon.
Sam is a constant professional, an absolute gem to talk to and to work with. He always takes the time, despite the fact that he does have national recognition and he really follows games and goes everywhere to watch games. He does a good job managing to stay in Sacramento and go to as many Sacramento Kings games as he can. Obviously, he lives here, so that's a big plus. So really, if you're looking for a national media perspective that has good and close tabs on what is happening with the Kings, Sam is your guy. I know most of you, if not all of you, already know who he is and follow him already, but if you don't, definitely follow him, check him out, use him for all your Kings news, and then I'm telling you, subscribe to The Athletic. Yes, it's a fee, but it's small and it's worth it just to get Sam's work, Sam's pieces, and Sam's insight. I pay for it every single month, and like I said, I pay for it really specifically for two guys, but you get all that content that's there available at your fingertips, and I have not seen or read anything at The Athletic that I haven't liked or at least appreciated or thought was professional and well done so far. So take advantage of that if you can. There's also a bunch of discount codes and things out there you can find very, very easily online. But enough talking. It's time for me to do some singing. Now, some of you, I'm aware, aren't going to like this. I'm not a good singer by any means. You're going to hear a lot of editing here in this song that I recorded. But this is something fun that I wanted to do when I heard the Ringer's version of Hallelujah called Hallelujah. First off, it's a phenomenal song. I really enjoyed it. Great, creative, fun. But they have a line early on that says the baffling Kings took Bagley over Luka. So when I heard that, I didn't take it personally. I thought it was a great line. It's a shot at the Kings. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. And in the event that there comes a good time where the Kings are either playing well or have a better record than the Mavericks, and I can write a response and clap back, I definitely will. So I waited until the right time, and this seemed like it. 3-game win streak, couple days off before the Charlotte game. And then the fact that the Kings have more wins or in a better place in the Western Conference than the Dallas Mavericks, I had to jump on it. I had to take advantage. So I wrote this. I recorded it. I sang it. I shot the music video. I produced it all. It is up right now for you to enjoy. But listen to it first and just appreciate, hopefully you'll like it, the lyrics and the song. I had a lot of fun with it, so I hope you will have fun listening to it. That will end this podcast. Again, we will be back to talk about the Charlotte Hornets game and more tomorrow. Let me know your thoughts on the music video, on the song itself, on what Sam Amick said. Everything is fair game. At MacGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, or you can call into our KHDK, or rather our Locked On Kings voicemail box, excuse me. There's so many ways for you to get a hold of me and reach me, and I would love to hear your feedback on everything. So have yourself a fantastic day, and please enjoy my version of Hallelujah, the Kings don't need Luka.
I've heard it a thousand times before, the Luka debate's such a bore. Don't let all of the media hype fool ya. Yes, he may be the wonder boy, but Bagley brings Sacktown joy. No, these 23 win Kings don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. No, the Kings do not need Luka. I've seen all of his highlight plays. I knew every game, but man, is the West just so cruel, yeah. While the Dallas playoffs are a dream, Kings are an above 500 team with Fox, Heald, Marvin Bagley, but not Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't. Kings do not need Luka. Maybe I wanted him before, but that's not the case no more. The December wind was just too cool, yeah. Soon in this Western playoff race, the Kings will use their record pace and leave the Mavs behind. Oh, poor Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. No, the Kings do not need Luka. With Bagley and Giles on the floor, the Kings have a future front court that will dominate the league. Oh, it's true, yeah. With Fox doing what he do, please extend Vlade and Jaeger too, and the Kings will win a title without Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. Don't need Luka. No, the Kings do not need Luka. Maybe it's time to, I don't know, just sit back and enjoy the show. Both teams are so happy with their dudes, yeah. It could be so much worse, you see. Imagine this poor Phoenix team who passed on both Bagley and Luka. just need, they need Luka. They need Luka. They need Luka. Oh, the Suns, not the Kings. They need Luka.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.